And I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading from the Modern English Version. It says this: "For freedom Christ freed us. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And then verse 13 says, "You, brothers, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty to give an opportunity to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Verse 1 again says, "For freedom Christ freed us. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Let's pray. I want to speak on standing fast in the liberty of the Lord. Standing fast in the liberty of the Lord. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would anoint your word today. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to be your mouthpiece, that you would truly speak from your word into every heart and every life. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless the preaching of your word today, remove distractions or contrary thoughts out of our minds. And we ask that most of all that Jesus would be exalted and that, Lord, we would hear from heaven. And so we give you this time in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. The Galatian church was one of the churches founded by the Apostle Paul. Maybe I should say was one of many churches founded in the region of Galatia by Paul. When he wrote to the Galatians, it wasn't one specific church per se, but rather many churches in that vicinity of Galatia that he wrote. But there was a situation beginning to occur in this church that troubled Paul. This church was started with the message of God's grace. They understood that they were saved by grace through faith, that all they had to do was to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that as Jesus being their Savior, they would be free to serve the living God with all of their hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And Paul started every church that way. Christ was the foundation of every church, and it was built upon the message of the gospel, where individuals understanding the freedom of the gospel would live for Christ and have a testimony in the world. Our salvation has been given to us freely. And when we were saved by grace, we were saved for freedom. God saved you and me, and when he saved us, he set us free from all bondage, if we're able to understand that properly. There is nothing, to be honest with you, that can bind us any longer. Sin itself has lost its stranglehold on the believer. The book of Romans, as Paul spelled it out, said that sin shall not have dominion over you any longer. That means that sin and its stranglehold on humanity is loosed when a person receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that individual who is born again can live in freedom because Christ has set them free. Can you say praise the Lord to that? And these Galatians understood the freedom of the gospel, and Paul began to teach them about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But in chapter 5, verse 1, Paul reminds them it was for freedom that Christ freed us. And he says, "Stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And so why would Paul be saying these words? And the reality is this, is that people in the Galatian area, in the region of the Galatians, were now beginning to succumb to doctrines and the teachings that were binding them into bondages that were never meant for them to be bound by. Judaizers of the day, these were Jewish believers that began to try to hold grace and the law together. And what these Judaizers began to do was begin to tell people in the Jewish believing areas, as well as in Gentile areas, those that were not Jewish but were believers, they began to spread their doctrine that You're saved by grace and works. But Paul, knowing the message of grace, that you have been saved by grace and not by works, lest any man should boast, was troubled because many in this area of Galatia were beginning to give ear to this teaching, and they were beginning to do and try to earn righteousness in the sight of God by works of the law. These Judaizers were proclaiming a doctrine that you are saved by grace, but if you're saved by grace, you need to be circumcised as well. Now, circumcision really is a non-issue, but it definitely is for the Jew. For the Jews, young boys, when they were 8 days old, were circumcised and given their name. But the reason why this took place was because of Abraham. When Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, Abraham was counted as righteous before God before circumcision was ever instituted among the Jews. But as a sign of his faith, a sign of his righteousness in the sight of God, which he had obtained by faith, God told him to circumcise his young boys, and he was obedient to do. But all of that to say this, circumcision was an outward sign of something that had happened internally by faith. Abraham was justified in the sight of God by faith. And what's amazing is Paul in the book of Romans, as well as subtly here in Galatians, would bring out the fact that Abraham was justified by faith and not by works. But over time, it began to switch over where the Jews began to think, well, these works are what justifies them, and lost the reality of justification by faith. And so God would bring his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to justify many through his blood. Jesus would fulfill all the requirements of the law. Everything that God required in the Old Testament, Christ fulfilled. Can you say amen? Amen. Christ fulfilled it all, and he fulfilled it in your and my place. And so Paul, the preacher of the new covenant, began to institute this teaching in all of his churches. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works. You don't have to do anything to earn righteousness in the sight of God. You are righteous and received righteousness by faith in the finished work of Calvary. And so these believers, having understood that they were saved by faith, began to adhere to this foolish doctrine that they had to circumcise their children or themselves. And Paul begins to tell them, look, for freedom Christ freed us. Stand fast. Don't give in. Don't give ear to what they are saying. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For there is no man or woman trying to please God by the works of their flesh that will ever be able to do so. If there was a man or a woman that could please God by living righteously by himself, by trying to keep the law of God, then Jesus died in vain. But because no man could be justified in the sight of God by trying to keep his own law that he gave, God sent Jesus Christ in the image of man and fulfilled the whole law in our place so that we would be justified in the sight of God by faith in the finished work of Calvary. So because we have been justified by faith, it was for freedom that Christ freed him. However, I need to dwell on this for a little bit with reason. When God saved you and me, he set us free. And the freedom that we have obtained is a freedom to serve the living God. It's not a freedom to go and live in our own sinful passions or to go and be free to do as we like necessarily. But rather, there's a freedom from the bondage of sin to now live freely before our Father in heaven and to be in relationship with God Almighty. Jesus has made it possible for every man and every woman on the face of the earth, if they so desire and if they choose, to have a relationship with God. We are free to obey Him. We are free to serve Him. He has done and given us this freedom so that we can have this relationship with God, but we are not free to go and live in sin. Do you all understand what I'm saying? There is a real freedom, and it's a freedom for righteousness, amen, but not a freedom for unrighteousness. The Apostle Paul, if you want to turn there, you can. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, makes an interesting statement, and this I want to bring out to you, because he mentions something that sometimes can trouble our minds, but it's very powerful at the same time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. And I want you to listen to Paul here and understand your freedom, but also understand that we're not just free to do anything at the same time. He says in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12, "All things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything." Did you listen to Paul there? Paul is saying, in essence, that God, through the finished work of Calvary, has set me free to do whatever I want to do. But even so, not everything is going to be beneficial for me. And because that is the case, that not everything is going to be helpful, he says, I'm not going to be brought under the power of anything. Amen? Amen? And what Paul is bringing now is the reality of your and my freedom. You are free to serve the living God, and sin does not have any room or any power to control you any longer. You are able to live in freedom before the Lord. And you're able to serve Him that way until the end of days. Can you say praise the Lord to that? Whatever has held us bound, and whether we realize it or not, we are free from it, so we can walk out from it. We have freedom in the gospel, and it is for freedom that He has freed us. But we need to learn to stand fast within that freedom and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Paul is saying that there's the potential that anyone could get bound up with the yoke of bondage all over again. Look as we read on. Look at verse 2. It says, "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." Why? You ever thought about it? Why would he say, if you go and get circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing? This is why. You see, if you begin to put your hope in something or someone else to give you righteousness in the sight of God, then you've pushed away God's righteousness, Christ Himself. And so Paul is saying, don't turn back to the way of these, of the law or of bondage, because they do not give you freedom. You will be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so he says, Christ will profit you nothing. Verse 3, "I testify again to every man who is circumcised that he is obligated to keep the whole law." He's saying, if you're going to try to be righteous in the sight of God by being circumcised, you don't understand that by that very law, you're required to keep the whole law. And so he's saying, you're going to get yourself into a heap of trouble, like someone would say. Amen? Or into a lot of a big mess if you try to go that route. He says, "You've been cut off from Christ. Whoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith which works through love." Paul is dealing with an issue there in Galatia. They're beginning to listen to those that are wanting to bring them into bondage all over again. They're telling them lies and saying, you need to add to your faith. You need to add works to your belief. And so Paul is bringing them back to the reality of the freedom that they have in Christ Jesus. And he tells them it was for freedom that Christ freed them, not to be under the yoke of bondage again. Listen to me. You don't have to go and try to keep the Ten Commandments to please God any longer. Well, that sounds like a contradiction, Pastor. What do you mean? When you love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and you begin to love your neighbor as yourself, you are keeping the law of God. But God has called us to come into a relationship of love with Himself. He wants your love. He wants my love. He doesn't want our works. Our works are going to fail. They're never going to measure up to what He requires. But it says if we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, then we keep the whole law, don't we? God has not called us to go into that way of bondage, but rather to live in freedom. Look at verse 7. Paul, in talking to the Galatians, says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little yeast leavens the whole batch. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will not think otherwise, but he who is troubling you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I wish that those who were troubling you would castrate themselves. That's how my version says it. I want you to understand what Paul is saying. He's very upset with these people. And he's saying, in essence, that those that are troubling them are preaching a heresy. And Paul is, in essence, saying that they would be without any fruit. Amen? That they would not be able to move forward in any way. But he's saying, who is stopped you, who troubled you, who has hindered you from obeying the truth? And so he says, you brothers, verse 13, have been called to liberty. That's freedom. Amen? Amen? Amen. You've been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty to give an opportunity to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so Paul is saying here, and what we're trying to emphasize today, is that God has called us to freedom. We need to learn to stand fast in the freedom that Christ has given us. We are free to obey Him, free to love Him. The flesh holds no power to control us the way that it used to before Christ was in our lives. We are now free to walk in relationship with God Almighty, to know Him and to love Him and to draw near to God. Even as the word of the Lord came earlier through tongues and interpretation, God wants to reveal His love to you and to me. The Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And God has removed everything that hinders you and me from drawing near to Him. You see, that's the freedom that we have, is the freedom to draw near to God. Before man was meeting up against a wall, there was no way for man to reach God. Sin was binding man. Sin was a problem that humanity had to deal with, but through the cross it was eradicated. And now we are free to join into a relationship with God that will grow and be more and more intimate. Amen? It's like we were talking about in the Sunday school class, that our desire will be like Paul's, Lord, I want to know you. That I count everything else but loss compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. We have been set free to worship the Lord so that now we want to serve Him. It's not that we have to. Amen. That's real relationship. Amen. Real relationship is I want to spend time with my wife. It's not that I have to. Amen? Praise the Lord. You want to spend time with your best friend. Amen? You're not forced to, or you have to. And that's the way it is with God. Lord, I want to know you. I don't have to. Amen? Praise the Lord. When we're in that kind of relationship with God, we're not, it's a beautiful thing to come into the house of God. It's because we come here not for the people. You don't come here for the pastor. You come here for God. Amen? When you have that kind of relationship with God, it doesn't matter where you go, and doesn't matter when and where you are, you will seek the living God. Amen? You move away from center, end up in a big city. You're like, man, I need this fellowship with other believers. I need to go where God is. Amen? Even though He's with you, of course. But you'll be there to find a good church body that loves Jesus. Amen? You're going to want to go there. Amen. Praise the Lord that we don't have to be religious. That we don't have to live in the thou shalt or thou shalt nots. Amen. But now it's the I wants. I want to go there. I want to spend time with Jesus. I want to go to church. Amen. And there's a freedom in knowing that He set us free to have that kind of relationship with God. Amen. Amen. He loves you. He loves you. It doesn't matter if you're 2 years old, if you're 90 years old. Amen. He loves you. And He delights in hearing your voice. He wants to be with you at school. He wants to be with you when you're with Brother Hyman playing baseball. Right, Brother Hyman? He wants to help you hit that ball, man. He's going to be hooting and hollering for you when you're running that lap. Amen? He's going to be with you when you jump into the swimming pool at Hooper. Amen? He's going to be with you when you're home, when you're at work, when you're on the job, when you're at school, when you're driving here and there. He wants to be with you. And that's what He set us free for, is to be in relationship with Him. Amen? He set us free to obey. Praise the Lord. Let's stand this morning.